Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One of the issues that we've been talking quite a bit about is HB 800, which calls for a constitutional convention to rewrite the state constitution. A constitutional convention, the construct of which a lot of people have had a very difficult time describing. I happened to watch the House and Governmental Affairs Committee on HB 800 last evening, and it was evident to me that both Republicans and Democrats are having a very difficult time getting their head and arms around what it is that they are actually doing. And there seems to be a lot of confusion on how many committees will actually be voting on this, how will this be divided up, and why is there not an agenda that's been brought forth to these committees way in advance so that they could consume it, gain a better understanding, and really weigh in on the issues. Here to talk about this happenstance, Jan Moeller, Invest in Louisiana. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, Sheriff.
So, Jan, if you would tell folks a little bit about your organization and what y'all do, and we'll start from there.
Sure. Well, we've been around since 2006. We just changed our name to Invest in Louisiana. Most people would probably know us as the Louisiana Budget Project, and we do policy research and advocacy, mostly on state budget and tax policies, with an particular emphasis on how these policies affect low and moderate income families in Louisiana. So that's the short story. But we've been very involved in this constitutional convention proposal, at least from the outside. We have not been on the inside of this because obviously it has the potential to affect a lot of areas that we care about, how, you know, our tax and our budget, and how those issues are going to affect low-income families in Louisiana in particular.
Jan, how do you, what's your feeling and what's your perspective on this process thus far? Do you understand what's actually going down and what's happening?
The questions you asked were exactly the right questions, because this has come on extremely quickly. The governor had a press conference this morning at 9 a.m. I paid very close attention because I was hoping to learn the answer to some of these things. The governor and his allies still haven't said exactly what they want to change in the Constitution or why they want to change it. They've given some kind of very vague answers about giving the legislature more flexibility in the Constitution, but they haven't said what they want to change. But we do know that this process is being rushed through on a really unprecedented timeline. People should know that the last time we did this was 50 years ago, and it was a three-plus years process. The convention itself took a whole year, but before that, we held an election of the delegates to that convention, and before that, there was an election where Governor Edwards at the time, when he was candidate Edwards, ran on an explicit platform to have a constitutional convention. None of these things happened in this instance. We know that there was a transition team that met before Governor Landry took office. They made some recommendations. The governor hasn't even told us who was on that transition team, and he hasn't released the results of those recommendations yet. But he wants this constitutional convention to start about 3.5 weeks from right now, and he wants the whole process to take 2 weeks. He wants this done between May 20th and June 3rd, and then he wants to send that to the ballot. That is not enough time for anybody to make considerations, and it's not enough public input for something of this magnitude.
I'll make the following observation, Jan. I was watching House and Governmental Affairs debate HB 800 for the third time that they met, and the author of the bill, Beaulieu, brought forth an amendment that said that Article 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are all the articles, four of the articles in the Louisiana Constitution, that falls under the purview of House and Governmental Affairs Committee, that the administration has no intent to remove anything from the Constitution in those four articles. Well, that took them 3 weeks, three meetings, in order to do so. They learned for the first time, many of the members of that body yesterday, that the administration's strategy is to now go to the other articles. So like Article 5, the judiciary. So they would go to House Judiciary Committee to discuss what they intend to move, if anything at all, from Article 5 into a revised statute. They want to do the same with Article 6, with the appropriate committee there, as well as Revenue and Finance with House Ways and Means, and then Article 8, Education, and Article 9, Natural Resources, to all of these separate committees. Well, if it took 3 weeks in House and Governmental Affairs to get to a point where they have no intent to move anything out of any of those articles, how long is it going to take if they're not revealing to anyone what the agenda item is and what they desire to move? It's almost like they're playing poker with everyone right now, and it's a big guessing game, and we're running out of time. I mean, we got 30 days away. We still don't have an agenda.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't have said that better myself. And you know, I think folks, you know, our focus obviously is less on the judiciary and natural resources, but the tax and the budget constraints. And people need to remember that, you know, first of all, nobody would defend every word in the current Constitution. We all know that it's been amended 216 sure. times over the last 50 years. I've voted against a lot of these amendments. I'm sure most people have. But the reason these amendments got on the bill into the Constitution is because the legislature, and more important, the people of Louisiana, wanted to protect the people of Louisiana from the Louisiana legislature. That's why these amendments got into the Constitution in the first place, because at some point, two-thirds of the legislature and a majority of the voters in this state said, you know, there's something here that's so important that we need to protect it, whether it's the sales tax exemption on food and drugs and residential utilities, or it's the homestead exemption, or the minimum foundation program that funds public schools. There are a lot of important protections in there, funding for hospitals and nursing homes, funding for first responders. And the governor said this morning he doesn't think that they want to touch supplemental pay. But that was the only detail we've gotten. But again, to think that, you know, 50 years of efforts by previous legislators to protect the people from the legislature could be undone in 2 weeks, while there are hundreds of other bills moving through the legislature, that's not enough time to consider something of this magnitude.
Yesterday, I recognized why we were in trouble when Representative Beaulieu, the chairman of House of the committee, went to the mic to move for favorable favorably on HB 800. It ended up along party lines, a 9-5 vote. In his preliminary statements before he made the motion to move the bill favorably, he says, you know, there's a lot of scare tactics out there. MFP, you just talked about them. MFP, homestead exemption, sales tax exemptions, this, that, and everything else. You know, and everybody is talking about this, trying to trying to gin up support and in these scare tactics. But he says, I guess I understand. He goes on to say, I guess it's the fear of the unknown because they haven't told us anything. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, that is your preliminary statements to you moving the bill favorably to go to the House floor, where you want to talk about it as being scare tactics in one breath, and then in the next breath say, I understand because it's a fear of the unknown because the administration hasn't told us anything. And we actually had 9 Republicans vote in favor of moving that bill to the House floor favorably, and none of them know any of what's going on and what the process is going to be. I mean, this is a comedy show. You couldn't make this up.
It's exactly, and it's preposterous to think that they don't actually know what they want to change. And it's equally preposterous to say that, you know, because the first argument we heard was that we're not really rewriting the Constitution. We're just we're making it skinnier. You know, we're going to fat shame the Constitution. We're going to take things out of the Constitution and put it into statute. But don't worry, we're not changing anything you care about. And now the latest buzzword is this is about flexibility. But they're doing this, you know, they're not going to go through this process just because they want to move things from column A over to column B. They're doing this because there are things that they want to cut that they can't cut right now, or taxes they want to raise that they can't raise without a vote of the people. And so if you're going to be honest with the voters, you need to come out and say, this is what we want to change and this is why we want to change it. Governor Landry was asked directly at his press conference this morning, are there any pots of money that are off limits to you right now that you would like to have the flexibility to cut? And the answer he gave was, no, I can't tell you that. He kind of, deflected the question. So
yeah, he refused in an interview with Jim Angster to say that he's not going to touch the homestead exemption.
Absolutely. This morning he kind of said, well, I don't think we want to touch the homestead exemption. I don't think we want to touch supplemental pay. And I understand why he says that. He doesn't want that building filled with first responders worried about their paycheck.
So, and homeowners.
And homeowners. Absolutely. So there's a lot of things that people are going to come to that building to protect. But it's, again, I have to believe that they know exactly what they want to change and why, if they think they can wrap this up in 2 weeks, but they haven't said so. And the other point is, when we did this the last time, 50 years ago, I wasn't around then, but we elected the delegates to this convention. This time, the legislators themselves and 27 appointees would be sitting in judgment. And maybe there are some legislators who ran on the idea of having a constitutional convention, but a lot of them never mentioned it, and a lot of them never even had the campaign. There are 144 legislators, and 71 of them got elected automatically when nobody filed to run against them. So all they had to do was file the paperwork, and they never had to tell the voters what they planned to do. So you've got a lot of people who are sitting there in judgment of this, potentially in a 2-week convention, who've never had to go on the record about what they think about a constitutional convention, what they want to change and what they want to preserve.
Yeah, and I asked a question of some legislators the other day. I think there are $7.2 billion in tax exemptions that are either in the Constitution or in the revised statute. And my thought was, why are we not studying and these tax exemptions, some that go back to the 50s, to see whether or not they still make sense, what fiscal impact they actually have for the state, and why don't we clean up our house and get our house in order first as it relates to these tax exemptions before we start tweaking the Constitution? Because they keep, as you pointed out, this is about the $500 million fiscal cliff that we're going to have next year. Well, when that number is a drop in the bucket next to $7.2 billion in tax exemptions. And that number goes up every time inflation goes up, right? I remember when I left the sheriff's office 6 years ago, we were at about $6 billion, or 5.9, if my memory serves me correct. And now, 6 years later, it's worth $7.2 billion. Why wouldn't we look at those first to make sure that we're...
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. And there have been commissions over the years. I've been around long enough now. I've seen about half dozen studies on these. And you're right. That's absolutely where they should look. But there's also what these studies usually find is a lot of these tax exemptions are there for a reason. And there's certainly some that, you know, I don't think anybody can defend reasonably. But, you know, from our perspective as an organization, one of the things the Constitution exempts is that the state is not allowed to apply the state sales tax to groceries, to prescription drugs, and to home utilities. Those three tax exemptions are worth about $1.2 billion. That's a lot of money, and I'm sure there are a lot of legislators who would like to get at that money, but that exemption is there for a very good reason. It's because the people of Louisiana said we should not apply the sales tax to basic necessities that low-income people need. You know, I mean, we all need those things, but when you're somebody with a low income, most of what you spend goes to your basic necessities, and the state sales tax doesn't apply to that. That's something that could be on the table, and frankly, from our perspective, that's something that should stay in the Constitution. I don't want this legislature taxing grandma's groceries and prescription drugs so that they maybe can free up some money to pay for income tax cuts.
And the interesting thing as well, they keep saying that, you know, well, we will articulate our position at some point in time. It's a mystery as to when that will be. But there's no guarantee that once they go into the convention, that House Bill 800 will be the guiding document, because there's language in the Constitution about constitutional conventions that seems to imply that once you go into the convention, you know, there are a bunch of rules that say you can't restrict by a House bill or otherwise. And there's conflicting legal opinions right now as to how that ultimately works and if that is, in fact, the truth, you know, as to what it's going to be. So it's kind of interesting that there's a lot of unanswered questions here.
You're right. And once they get into a convention, my understanding is that all bets are off. Now, I take them at their word. You know, the governor has, you know, there are supermajority Republican rule in the House and Senate. So we can take them at their word, maybe, that they will stay limited. I doubt anybody's going to take away Second Amendment rights or, you know, the pro-life wording in the Constitution or the free speech. It's not realistic to think that they would do that. But theoretically, they could go into any section of that Constitution once they're in a convention. And we don't know. And you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not qualified to say what they could, but that is certainly a danger.
Yeah, but when it comes to taxes, you know, when one group may get impacted and then one way to beat back the momentum as it relates to one group is to go try and grab another group to be similarly impacted, right? I mean, you know as well as I, that is legislative strategy 101. I mean, and it's hard to even think that when we go into this forum that we're going to be devoid of what we of a club that we have in our bag that we use all the time. You know, I just don't see it.
Absolutely. And you know, they say that they want more flexibility to deal with a fiscal cliff, but there is a distinct possibility that they could make things even harder on themselves. You know, there's a lot of people in that building who want to eliminate the individual and corporate income tax in Louisiana. Those two taxes make up close to half of the entire state general fund. So if a constitutional convention got out of control and said, hey, we're going to put on the ballot that Louisiana can't have an income tax, we're going to be just like Texas and Florida, well, then you just made a half a billion dollar budget shortfall into a $5 billion budget shortfall for next year if the voters approve this. And I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but that possibility certainly exists.
Right. Jan Mola, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. Truly appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.